churches, and I promise not to hold you too long tonight. Somebody said one time at my wedding, see, when I say I'll not be long, don't believe a word of it. It's probably true. But praise God, I think every preacher is guilty. I've only been another few minutes, and 10 minutes later, still going. But I won't try and hold you too long tonight. I was admiring the wee flags on the chapel coming in here this morning, you know, going through like Brickland. And I was going to talk a bit about them wee flags tonight, but I wouldn't have had the time. I did look at it a bit. That's the 14th of June. The date's significant for them flags flying. And the yellow and white flag is to say we are Roman Catholics, we're proud of it. That's one of the beliefs. Them flags is identifying what they are. And identifying to the Pope, the Vatican City, and Peter as the first Pope, which they claim, which we know Peter was never in Rome. But they claim that. And you know, Peter, if he was the first Pope, what they believe that is in the total contrast. Because the priest can't marry, and Peter was married because his wife, his mother-in-law was sick, and they requested prayer. So I was thinking, you know, and then it goes on until the Pope, the head and everything, and I was thinking about our head. Now sadly, a lot of Protestant denominations have heads. Now I don't need to name them, but you can all agree, many organizations have heads. But the head of the true church is Jesus Christ. That's the one head, the true head. He's the real head of the church, Jesus Christ. And nobody can take his place. And even, you know, I don't want to go into, but just say a couple of things. That white and yellow flag as well, it's 14th, the day, is all about the Sacred Heart. Who's ever heard about the Sacred Heart? That's what they call the Sacred Heart. Now, there's a lot of good things in there. You couldn't disagree with some of the thoughts in there. But where it originates from, and everything's false. That's the problem with it. And I was looking in the office tonight. Good job I didn't get it, because I would have held my back more. But there's a tremendous book. I've got it somewhere. I can't remember where I've left it at the minute. It's written by Lorraine Botner. And it's one of the best books you'll get in Rome. There's another one written by him, by the Vatican's Billions. Tremendous books. They're very hard to get now. Heslop's Two Babylons. I'm sure most people is in it. It's another really good one. Tremendous books. Them's the things we need to be reading to educate ourselves. Young people today need educated by these things. Praise God. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, and the Lord bless you tonight. And just remain seated this evening. I want to speak of the parable of the absent house master. Now, the house master being the Lord Jesus Christ, and the house being the church. And I'm going to try and show you that briefly from the Word of God. And I won't go into all the scriptures. I can mention them for those that want to take notes. But we'll read from Mark 13, verse 32 to 37. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants unto every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Let's bow our heads again this evening. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up and I'll remember you in prayer tonight. And those listening in, God bless each one. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've shown toward us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for this wonderful way of song we've been singing at the start of the service tonight. Just praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless the hands that's raised this evening. Help us for a few moments with your word and touch the heart of the people. Strengthen your own people. And if any unsaved would get this message, may the Holy Spirit work on them and may they come to know you as their own Lord and Savior. Father, meet every need and touch your people. I pray especially for Brother Beecham tonight, for Alan's leg, for any others which are afflicted. We think of that dear woman, Diana, again tonight. Diane, we pray that you'll touch them and heal them and minister unto them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for others listening in that they might need your touch. Father, I pray as they listen your word that you'll touch them and heal them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and every family member. Though that's not saved, we bring them before you by faith tonight. Every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife. All relatives that's been prayed in hearts. Father, will you save them? Will you speak to them? Will you have mercy on them? In Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit now by faith and ask for your help and for your strength and ask all these blessings. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Praise God. Just to say, that man and woman that I mentioned, the woman, Diane, she's lost her hair and everything with cancer. She's put up a few more details just to share. She needs prayer. She's in a wheelchair. You might remember, but there was a couple came to live in Newry because of work some years ago. And they came for so many months, then they were going back to America. And they used to come to our meetings sometimes on a Sunday. They would travel down from Newry. Now, I've come back quite a time ago. We were actually in that other hall behind us here when they came. And that's the same lady now that's not well. They're in America. Her husband, I think, is a minister, or preaches at least. And Sister Nisha knows them well, and that's a lady's been asking for prayer, and she says it's okay to share more. She's cancer and everything. She's went through a lot of things. Just keep praying for the Lord to touch her. Amen. And Jenny's dad as well. Keep praying for Jenny's dad as well, Ian Redmond. Keep praying the Lord will touch Ian as well. And Ian got saved. And I tell you, that's not the main blessing. Somebody saved. Now, you could mark down Matthew 24, chapter 24 and chapter 25. And in Matthew 24 and 25, it also deals in parables about similar things what we're talking about tonight. And Luke 21, verse 5 to 38. But I'm going to read from verse 33 to 36, just for way of saving time. But you can read it at home from verse 5 to 38 of Luke 21. Verse 33 starts like this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. So I believe this is to believers, that some Christians can get slack and start to do things they shouldn't do. It doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they've got slack. And in this day, this coming is the coming of the Lord. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, here's that word again. And pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Each passage distinctly pertains to the uncertainty or the not known of the time of the second coming of the Lord. Now, I was reading this evening and saying to Brother Mark, William Branham said, I am totally convinced, and he says, I'm not prophesying it, but I am convinced that the Lord will come by 1977 and we will be in the millennium. That is 49 years ago and the Lord has not come yet. Now, I know some people preach we're in the millennium, but don't believe it. And if you want to get evidence, go across somewhere to the zoo, or even a bad dog will do. And stick your hand in them and see how you get on. He'll eat you. But in the millennium, the lion will lie with the lamb. So So we're not there yet, and plus we're wearing watches tonight because we're keeping time. We will not be worrying about time when we're in the millennial reign. Amen. But we'll be living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. So this second coming of the Lord, there's an absolute necessity from Scripture, from all these different readings, is to be watchful. We are to be watchful. We are to be waiting. We are not to be sleeping. And I mentioned this morning about what falling asleep can do. And especially if you're driving, it's not a good plan. And I tell you, when we're serving the Lord, we're to be not sleeping. Now, understand this metaphor, because how many's read Bunyan? What's that book? Pilgrim's Progress. Now, if you read Pilgrim's Progress, it's a wonderful thing, you know. That man was so inspired of God. Pilgrim's Progress, and how they journeyed along, and he explains it all. This is like this parable. They fell asleep, some of them, on the way. And they had to be wakened on the way. And how many people do you know this evening, and I know this evening, and they were saved, and they started to serve the Lord, and they served him for a time. But they've got caught up with other things along the way, and they're no longer serving the Lord. And the cares of this world's took them over, but they still have a belief in God, the Lord. They're backsliders. Now, they are definitely going to be caught unawares when the Lord comes. Now, if you study all these scriptures, and you know, I'm not going to read them all tonight, and see the picture of the title here tonight, the parable of the absent housemaster. The Lord has went home to heaven, but the Lord that's went home to heaven, he's coming again. And he's left his spirits, the house, the church, and the saints physically, he's left them. He's no longer, now we know the Holy Spirit's here, we know that, but I'm talking about Jesus the man, because the Bible is clear that he is coming again. John 14 tells us that. The moral of this parable, the word is very simple with regards to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer is told to take heed, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And it's hard to get Christians to come together and meet today to pray, isn't it? Because there's so many things where all of us are guilty that we maybe don't pray enough, every one of us. I am not pointing at anybody. I would like to be praying more than I'm praying. And I do try to pray, and have certain things I do, and I always do it, but I maybe could pray more. And we heard this morning, I don't know if one of the brothers quoted it, or it was a song, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And there's a waiting upon the Lord, there's a praying, and there's a watching. And there are many other words in this passage I've mentioned, but the main key word is to watch. It is spoken not only to the disciples of Christ at the time he was here on earth, but it is also for the disciples of now. And we are disciples because a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, when I quote you the Great Commission in a moment or two later here, but I get to it. You know, in the Great Commission, the Bible says, go and make disciples of all men and of all nations, followers of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of disciples of organizations, but I'm talking about disciples of Jesus. No one knows the day and the hour of his coming. Nobody knows. Therefore, we're warned against sleeping and other evil things that beset the Christian, especially in the days preceding the Lord's coming. And we are living in the most evil, wicked generation. We are living like the times of Noah now. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot. Now we know we're living in the days of Lot, and we see homosexuality today shoved in your face like never before. Gay parades, gay marriages, gay this, gay that. And the word gay is not a bad word. It means merry, light-hearted, full of joy. But they have perverted that word. They've misused the word. But the Bible calls it sodomy. And the Bible's against it. And the Bible says, no whoremonger,
no adulterer, no effeminate will enter heaven. And we see we're living in that time, that evil time. And the Lord's coming. And he's coming when they think not. Now, no one knows the day they are. But the exposition of the parable, I want to go into it for a moment. And this is a big mass of plough tonight. But I'll not get working with Oliver. She turns over as well. So when she goes up, she comes back down, turns, and she's 10 furs on her. But we're not going to be getting to them all tonight. She's a big plough. The 3 furs retired. Praise God. God's good, isn't he? Amen. This is it's a short parable in Mark, as corresponding scriptures show. Each one of these parables points to the importance of the watchfulness of the days of the coming of the Lord. That's the important bits of these parables. And I'm going to share with you some thoughts from this evening. And at a quarter till I'm stopping, no matter what I've said, I'm going to make myself stop. Now, if we look at the notable points of reference in these parables, the first one is the man. And I want to, our first scripture we read, the first one is the man. Then the man is identified by the Lord himself. And the man that the Lord himself identifies is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. He became the Son of Man by incarnation, by the virgin birth. He became the Son of Man. In his deity, he is the Son of God. In his humanity, he is the Son of Man. He became the Son of Man in order that through redemption, the sons of men may become sons and daughters of the living God. So this parable is about the Son of Man and his coming in an hour that we think not. Here's another thing. There is a far journey. The far journey. The Son of Man was likened to a man taking a far journey. It is the same truth that's seen in other parables. Whether it is a man going in a far country or taking a far journey, it points to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, into the heavenly country. He has left this scene of time. He done the work on the cross. He was here for 40 days. He went back to the Father. Back to where he was before the world began. And before his incarnation, before he came, before everybody's here, because you know, he said, before Moses was, I am. He was the lamb slain from the very foundations of the world. John 16, verse 26 to 28 says this, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall say, not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loved you, because ye love me, and have believed that I come out from God, and I'm come from the Father, and I am come into the world again, and I leave the world, excuse me, and go back to the Father. So he comes from God and he goes back to God, but he is coming again for us. In John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may also, and whither I go you know, and the way you know. And then, you know the whole story, saith unto him, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I'm the way. So he's coming again, but no man knoweth the day nor the hour. He's absent from the house, as it were. The master's absent from the house, as it were, in the physical sense, but he's coming again. Till that house, his church, coming after us. Hebrews 11, verse 10 to 16. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful that promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them that were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. A heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So Jesus has went back to the heavenly country, and he's prepared something for us. And Abraham knew about it. And Abraham desired to go there, to be there. And he searched for it. But it is going to become a reality one day to each and every one of us that are followers and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to go to that place. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. Here's another thing about it. He left his house. The house spoken here would refer to the true church of Jesus Christ, whose house we are. Now I'll prove you that now. Here in Hebrews 3 verse 1 to 6. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house have more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Jesus as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Whose house are we? So you see, whose house were we? See, Corinthians says we're baptized into one body by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The mystical body. The house that the Holy Spirit's dwelling in, the Holy Spirit has come to this, to his people, this house. And the Lord Jesus will return to his house. Amen. If we hold fast the confession and rejoice in the hope, confirm unto the end. The church is a spiritual house made up of spiritual and lively stones. God spoke of a building of a house in the last days. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 to 9. Ye also as lively stones are built up in a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So there is a chief cornerstone to the house. He's seen it now. Amen. A stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, do you think that means a certain wee church around the corner? That means the whole house of God. Amen. The whole entire house of God, where judgment begins. That's all believers. Amen. And if it be first begin at us, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So he's saying if God's going to judge us and his own house, and you know we have to keep control of our own natural house, don't we? And God is a house. And he has to have a look at that house and see that it's in order. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And I tell you, if God does that, to see his own people's in order, what about the unsaved? How far are they off? They need to get saved. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5 and verse 15. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? But if I tarry long, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So there is a way we're to behave in church. Our brother John mentioned some weeks back how we're to come in and go out, and them things are true. There is a way we're to do things in the house of God. We're to have a reverence. How many believes that tonight? We're to have a reverence for the house of God. We have communion. Now, when we do communion, not every Tom, Dick, and Harry can just willy-nilly take communion. You know, the Bible tells you that if you don't do it properly, you could end up dead. Sleep, it says, that means dead, spiritually dead. Or not physically dead. We judge ourselves first. There's an order to do things. And the Bible's warning us, even in our own house, there's an order. And you know, the man is the head of the house. Now, I know a lot of women don't like that. And we have so many women preachers today on the internet and stuff. But I don't care one thing about it. The man's still the head of the house. Now, in that, he's to love his wife because she's the weaker vessel. But the man is the head of that house. Now, just like God's the head of his church, that's why the Pope of Rome cannot be the head, anyway. And the Pope of Rome, if he's the head, then is he the cornerstone? Well, he's saying he is if he claims he's the head, because our head's the chief cornerstone. But I'll put it to you that if this stone comes down on him, it'll ground him to powder. Put it like that. But God has an order. And God's an order even in the church. The women is to be silent in the church. And I know so many preachers don't believe that today. And that's fair enough. They can believe whatever they want. But we believe the Bible. Now, we believe women can pray and operate gifts of spirit. And they can witness to people. We believe all that. But there's nowhere in the Bible where God chooses a woman to be a pastor. It's not scriptural. Because if she's going to be a pastor, she's the head of that assembly. In the sense, she's a certain authority over all the men in it. Start with. It's not scriptural. But we see a lot of it today. So much of it today. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. Because there's so many false doctrines that's crept in. And people are following this and that on the internet, and a lot of it's pure rubbish. And they post this, they post that. But how many times are they attending church? Are they paying a tithe? Are they doing communion service? Are they really in the work of God? But they're going to preach to all the rest of us. Isn't that the hour we're in? And then we have people come out and, oh, our minister's gay, but he can still be a man of God. Well, he can't be. I'm sorry, he can't be. He needs delivered first. Needs to get set free before he can be anything. Isaiah 2, verse 1 to 4. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem on the time of 5 minutes, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and the nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Shall rise up, shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And I know this can be right at the end time and all that, but I'm just getting you the phrase of the house. Jesus Christ is the master of the house. Can you see that tonight? At present he's absent from the house. Now we know he's here, spirit form. Master's absent from the earth, but in heaven with the Father. He's in heaven with the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Majesty in high, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Now here's his servants. His servants. As Jesus returned to the Father, leaving his house, his church, here on the earth, he gave authority to his servants. Now, I want you to notice how this authority started. This authority started when Jesus says, all power is given unto me from my Father. Yes, are you following me? Then he goes on to say, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Then we see the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, I give you power and authority. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. So the Father gave him the power, the Father gave him the authority, and he gives us the power, and he gives us the authority. So it moves right on. That we now as his servants have been commissioned, and we have been given power, and we've been given authority to continue the work that he began. And when you read the book of Acts, that's what you get till you read this, all that Jesus began must be continued. Amen. We know by studying scripture and other parables, believers as a servants here to serve him and to serve one another, as well as the lost and the dying generation, we're actually his bondmen. Paul said he was a slave. Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as he ought to speak. Whether apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, ministers, helps, mercy, all the different things, given ministries, on and on, all the different gifts and ministries, all believers are servants in the house of the Lord. So every one of us tonight are his servants in his house. And the master's gone out and he's left the house for a time to go back to the heavenly home. And how are we behaving? How's the church, how's God's people behaving? We're to watch. We are to be careful what we do, isn't that what he says? And not to do certain things. Now you give authority. And I've 2 more minutes, but time's gone, brother. And you wouldn't get it finished, and I've only got to the 5 for 10 ready. But they'll do it another time. The word authority here is Greek, exousios, meaning ability, privilege, force, capacity. It involves privilege, responsibility for what the master of the house has given to each of his servants. We have a responsibility. We must be responsible people because we've been given a responsibility for the Lord's house. And just like we have a responsibility in our own house, we have a responsibility in the Lord's house. And the Father gave Jesus all the power and authority, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And you know, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So just as the Father gave him the authority, he gave us authority, and he even gave us the authority to baptize people. So when somebody says, where did you get your authority from? What college? Here. From the Lord. I got my authority from the Word of God to baptize in the name of the Father, the Lord, and His Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost anointed Christ. Acts 2:38 if you want. But that's where I got the authority to do it. He gave me authority. Amen. Matthew 10 verse 1, Jesus gave his apostles power and authority to preach the gospel. Matthew 10 verse 1, and when he had called on him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. That's where they got it from. They got it from the Lord. Mark 3:15, and to have power to heal sickness and cast out devils, Luke 10:19 to 20, it's all the same thing. We receive the power and authority from the Lord. He's the master of the house. Now the Lord's went back to heaven, and we're to be watching and we're to be waiting. He's coming again. Let's stand our feet tonight. 1 minute, brother. 1 minute out. The fella preached the sermon 60 seconds ago, wasn't it? 60 seconds to go. But we don't know how long we have.
We don't know how long we have. We have plans, all of us have plans. You know, I remember talking to my father-in-law when our Hannah was only a baby, born just like Hannah's baby. And me and Sharon Hannah there were so proud of her. She's born, she's a wee baby. And Charlie says, how long do you think till the Lord comes? I says, I believe Hannah will be left school before the Lord comes. Charlie says, I can't see it. I believe the Lord will come at any time soon. You see, because people that's serving the Lord believe the Lord's coming. Amen. When you look at all them great men of God, they weren't wrong. They weren't wrong. They were so welcome with the Lord, they had a desire, they had a belief with the things the way they were, the Lord was coming. Mm-hmm. Now, my Hannah's 29 years of age. I can't believe it. 29. And I only feel 25. And she's 29. And she has a wee baby already. And my son in New Zealand's two babies, or his wife had them. And the oldest one's coming 3 years of age. I can't believe it. And we're looking for the Lord to come. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's coming. The Lord is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. Now, we've done a circle in my lifetime. I have seen another generation coming forth in my lifetime. And I still say I'm a young man, still believe I'm a young fella. Now, whether you believe that or not, that's up for debate, but anyhow. But I'm just saying, we don't know how long we have. But we're to continue on. With the family, with the building, whatever you're doing, continue on. Farming, you know, whatever you do, continue on, but serve the Lord. Be watching and waiting. For the Lord Jesus is coming again. Let's close our eyes tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truths contained in your Word. Lord, we know that in another parable you give them 1 10. See what he'd do, and he went out and he multiplied them. And one fellow got 1 talent. He buried it. And you weren't too happy with him. Lord, I don't know how many talents we have. But I'm asking you to help us to use them. Help us to use the talents that you've given us, that we may multiply them when you come, that we'll be found worthy. Lord, we pray again for loved ones and all that's near to us. Speak to them and save them. Lord, if you don't move on them, they'll be lost. We're asking you for mercy tonight. And wrath, remember mercy. Lord Jesus, bless each one in this room. And Lord, I thank you for the young people that comes. Pray a special blessing on every single one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, keep them all the days of their life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother Gary comes. And don't forget Thursday night, if you can make it, come along. We're still in the book of Acts. I don't know when we'll get out of it. We're not even out of chapter 2, I don't think. But we're not worried about that. I just want to go through it and try and bring some thoughts out. You pray for us that the Lord will give me some nuggets as we go. And God bless you.
Let us sing that hymn of his glory, just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me.
Just to walk with him, whose blood has ransomed me. It is rapture for my soul. You're still in control.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, we want to give ourselves to you afresh. And we want to serve
yes,
you,
Jesus.
Because we know the time is short. We ask you, Lord, you'll help us to redeem the time for your sake, Lord, and for your honor, for your kingdom,
yes,
for your
Jesus.
Glory. Lord, bless all who's gathered here tonight. Bless those, Lord, who are not here and maybe listening in. And Lord, add to your church such as should be saved in the name of
yes,
Jesus. We ask you, Lord, now you'll keep your hand upon us and help us always to be watching.
Yes.
Help us to be watching and waiting. Lord, you, indeed you said, for we know not what hour the Son of Man cometh. And Lord, we know also that if the good man of the house had
yes.
known the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken. But Lord, we know there's no use shutting the door of the stable when the horse is gone. Help us, Lord, to be watching. Help us to be waiting.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for the words of the hymn writer said, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness.
Yes,
thank you for your
Jesus.
Grace. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless. Let us sing off we leave. Come ye that love the Lord, and let his joys be known. And Lord willing, then we'll see us on Thursday evening.